You've arrived in Forks with Chelsea and Grace.
Chapter 8, Ghost, aka Edward Does Not Have Big Dick Energy. It's a sunny couple of days in Forks, so Edward and his siblings can't go to school. Instead, Edward hangs out in the woods outside Forks High and uses his mind reading to keep track of Bella. He's in extra protector mode because Peter and Charlotte are still in town. Mike has the audacity to ask Bella out to dinner after being rejected to the dance.
The boy I hated so much in the moment, I could have killed him for no reason but to enjoy it.
For the strongest, fastest, coolest vampire in the world, Edward's sure sweating these pubescent boys. Bella turns Mike down for a second time, saying that it wouldn't be fair to Jessica as she so obviously has a crush on him. Thanks to Edward, we hear Mike consider dating Jessica instead.
She's cute though, I guess. Decent body. Bigger boobs than Bella's.
After school, Edward follows Bella back to her house, just in case, though I'm not sure why we're so scared of Peter and Charlotte.
They had no intention of causing animosity with my family, but intentions were changeable things.
This better go somewhere and be a real threat down the line, or else. Bella takes advantage of the sunny day with a blanket and a couple books in her backyard. You know how people like to read 3-4 books at a time. Edward notices her get mad and close a book whenever a character named some variation of Edward is introduced, but somehow he's not able to put together why. Isn't he supposed to be smart and perceptive? He convinces himself that spying on Bella in the daylight is better than hiding in her room at night. He goes even further to claim he's a respectable Peeping Tom.
I certainly would not trespass on her privacy the way the Peeping Tom would have. I was here for her protection, not to leer at her in the way Mike Newton no doubt would. Were he agile enough to move through the treetops, I would not treat her so crassly.
Oh my god, enough about Mike Newton already. He's already moved on to Jessica and her massive boobs. Edward hears Bella tell Charlie that she's going shopping in Port Angeles with her big titty friends the next day after school. Edward makes a mental note to tag along, of course. The next afternoon, before heading to Port Angeles to spy on Bella and her friends, Edward goes home for a quick visit with Peter and Charlotte, who he's been avoiding all week. They're about to head out and saying their goodbyes to the Cullen family. Turns out, Peter and Jasper were turned by the same woman named Maria. They're both kind of scared of her, but it's not exactly revealed why. Maybe she opposed slavery. Instead of chatting with the guests like a normal person, Edward sulks by his piano until they leave. And thanks to his mind-reading power, Ed knows that everyone finds this strange. On his way out, Alice tells him the girls aren't going to Port Angeles after all, but to Seattle. He gets in his car and goes on his way. Can I just say, so much of all of these chapters is, I said it last time, the logistics of like the day, how they're getting everywhere. I mean, it's just like convoluted and it's hard to summarize because it's like, okay, then he goes to Bella, then he has to go home before he leaves. I don't know what, like how to fix that, how she could have fixed that, but well, it's very tedious to like keep track of.
It is. And I think the problem is that since there's no conflict, conflict begets action, right? And like character choice begets action. And like, that's what you need in a story. Even if you're thinking about doing like kind of like a moody romance, like Twilight is supposed to be, when there's conflict, a character must make a choice, and then the choice leads them to the next action, which leads to the next conflict, which leads to the next choice, which leads to the next action. Because there's no conflict, there's no choices. And because there's no choices, there's no action. And so she kind of just needs to move the characters like pieces on a chessboard without actually knowing how the chess game works. And that bothers the crap out of me because nothing happens. And because nothing is happening, then she just needs to write mishmashy stuff to get them from one place to the other.
No, all Edward does is just drive around Forks all day, like, and spying on Bella, people. And then, like, checking with his family, like, picking them up from school.
Like, what is his, like, what are his actual interests? He likes listening to Celine Dion in his car, and Debussy, and driving his car and spying on Bella. And, like, none of that is interesting to me,
and
unfortunately.
Playing his piano. That made me laugh when he was like, they were all saying goodbye in the living room, but I just stayed with the piano. I'm like, okay, maybe like, you really are a 17-year-old boy.
So moody, right, yeah. I really struggled with this chapter. Actually, I didn't struggle with the chapter. It was one of the shortest chapters we've read so far. Every chapter up until chapter 7 and chapter 8 have been like 30 to 40 pages long. And I mean, we're talking small font, blocks of text where Edward just ruminates on whether or not he should leave Bella or stay. But we get to chapter 7 and chapter 8, and finally we get two 10-page chapters, and I was like, holla frickin' Luya. But the problem is, because it's only 10 pages, we don't get too much of Edward ruminating. We don't get much of the no-action nonsense that Stephanie Meyer mm-hmm. likes to write. So I had, like, nothing that I wanted to talk about. Like, nothing happens.
Well, I have something. So this is a quote from the book about Bella being a good friend. This is the day at school before she's supposed to go to Port Angeles with her friends. Quote, I wondered if she would bow out of her plans. She didn't seem in the mood, but being Bella, she would probably put her friend's enjoyment before her own. Is Bella a good friend?
Okay, here's an opportunity to say that a lot of people will put other people's needs before their own. And I'm here to tell you that now is the time to start setting boundaries for yourself and taking care of yourself first, because once you are fully okay, then you can start caring about other people. 100%. Bella is not setting boundaries here. She doesn't want to go to Port Angeles, but guess what? She goes anyway, and she's going to be depressed. But I guess it's pretty good that she goes, because we get one of the more exciting scenes in Twilight during the stuff that happens next. I'm not going to spoil it.
I just want to say the drive from Forks to Seattle is kind of far.
Right. That actually confused
that drive.
Me.
It's like 5 hours.
That confused me at the end of this chapter, because I thought they really did go to Port Angeles to go dress shopping. And I thought that's where her and Edward run into each other.
Well, I guess we'll find out. I don't know. For some reason, Alice seemed to think she's going to be in Seattle. I wonder if Alice is seeing the wrong... I mean, Alice can't really read the future because she has to see like a million different versions of it. So maybe she sends Edward to the wrong place and then he's pissed.
Right. And then he's late saving her. Yeah.
But back to Bella being, I mean, Edward just thinks that Bella is like the best friend ever. I feel like she is not. We don't see her being a good friend. She ditches everyone in her life once Edward comes into the picture, including her own family. And I think it would have been more interesting to see Bella cultivate human friendships in the book. That would have made her decision of becoming a vampire even harder.
Right.
It would have been interesting to see her develop a friendship with Jessica, but Stephanie Meyer hates women and instead had to make Jessica Bella's enemy, kind of. Yeah. Or like a comparison to show how much better Jessica is than this other poor teenage girl who, by the way, ends up being valedictorian and
she's on the volleyball
captain
team.
Of the volleyball team.
Yeah, she's actually really cool. But there is something inherent in Stephanie Meyer's writing is that she really hates women that don't look exactly like she looks and have the exact same religion that she has. And then, you know, give up her entire personality for a man. So if that's not you, Stephanie Meyer just isn't into you. She's just not that into you. I don't think Bella's a good person. She does kind of...
A good friend.
A good friend. She's whatever. She's a human. You know, we have like goods and bads, but I don't think she's a great friend. I think it would have been so much more interesting as if she found like a found family at her new high school. She found maybe one really close girl that she could, you know, tell all of her troubles to. But that's the thing is like, she kind of does all of this on her own, alone, struggling in her mind, in her bed, which like...
I have to say is something that does appeal, I think, to a lot of people reading books. Because if you're feeling alone, then you read a character who's kind of a loner too. But I guess the question is, I mean, there's room for all types of characters in books. I guess one of my main issues with Twilight, other than I understand like people like it and it brought a lot of like new readers to the reading world. But I just feel like the message it sends is kind of harmful in a way.
I agree entirely.
It sends some really problematic things for younger readers. So to have Bella, you know, give up everything for a man when she's 17, 18 years old, including her friends, and not really liking any friends because she kind of thinks she's better than everyone else, then what type of message does that send people?
No, I entirely agree. And I think just going back to what we talked a little bit about in chapter 7, like what makes a good romance, I think one of the places that Twilight is a romance, so within that framework, one of the places Twilight fails is giving the characters flaws and then redeeming those flaws. I think there's tons of romances that do this so much better, and there are romances that are problematic. Like, let's talk about Call Me By Your Name, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
I've read the book, Grace, you've read the book. It's problematic. There's like one through line that is extremely problematic, but what makes the book interesting and engaging and able for me to get through it quickly and read it is because the characters are flawed, like inherently flawed. And we see... Yeah.
And they grow.
They grow. We see growth. And so not that I'm forgiving the problematic elements of Call Me By Your Name, but it's at least it's easier to friggin' read. The characters are more interesting and I like them more. Whereas like there's nothing wrong with the characters in Twilight and there's no conflict and there's no redemption arc. And it's just like every message it sends is problematic. And I don't think young girls especially should not read Twilight and think this is what a romance should be. No.
Well, it would be different if she was kind of a loner and then eventually
found friends.
Yeah. And realized that, you know, she wasn't like that much better than everyone else, or she wasn't that different than everyone else. Everyone is like struggles with some of the same stuff she does, but right. She doesn't at the end. That's never an arc. So for an adult,
you know what she does?
I understand if you're like a teenager writing this, I would have maybe thought the same thing. But if you're an adult and you're writing this, come on, at least show people like, oh yeah, it's so, you know, you're not alone in this world. You don't have to go through this world alone, or until your 100-year-old boyfriend marries you and has sex with you on a beach outside Brazil.
You know? You know what she does do? So she is a loner, and she eventually joins a cult. Like, that's kind of like what
true
this book is.
Which is an option for everyone, but we don't recommend it.
I seriously don't recommend it.
Then you end up in Guyana. Is that where they went? In
Guyana?
People's temple. Yeah.
Don't go down there. Don't do that. Okay. I have another thing that I want to bring up.
Do it.
Because nothing really happens in this chapter, what essentially happens in most of these chapters is Edward stalks Bella, right? And because mm-hmm. Edward stalks Bella, we don't get like new interesting details about the story. We're basically experiencing Twilight scene for scene again, just told from Edward's point of view. And so instead
from, like, the trees outside Bella's
right,
house.
Instead of reading the scene from Bella's internal monologue, we are reading the scene from Edward watching Bella do what she does in the original Twilight books. And that begs the question, like, why do we have this book at all?
Money.
It's money. Well, it's a money grab. I do think that. I think there's so many companion novels out there that do it well, and this is not one of them.
Like I said, it would have been more interesting from Jacob's point of view, maybe.
Ooh.
But she knows Edward probably would sell more. I don't know. Whatever. I can't blame her. If I had the opportunity to do this, I would jump on it in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
But yeah, I also agree, though, this came out way too late. I don't know who's reading this and enjoying this now. But right. I thought I read somewhere that it leaked. She was like writing this a while ago, years ago, and it leaked. And then she was like, OK, I'm just going to finish it and release it.
So, yes, when
myself,
she like one chapter got leaked or something mm-hmm. on the internet, the early days of the internet, like right. You know, I think Twilight hadn't even finished like the series. And she kind of came out right away and said, like, this is just, like, one chapter. Like, I did it one time. Like, this is not going to get written. And that was, like, 10 years ago or something. And then, you know, many years down the line, she hasn't published a single book since. So now she, like, needs to.
She does not need the money, though. There's
maybe
no
she
way
does.
She needs
who
the
knows?
Money.
Yeah, who knows no. how much money she's giving to her church. shade.
Yes.
Can we
something
talk about.
Else?
Oh, go ahead.
No, you go.
Okay, fine. Can we talk about the peeping Tom comment from Edward? Like,
yeah, he's like, I'm not a creepy. Every peeping Tom thinks that they're the one exception that's not creepy. He's like, I'm just here to take care of her by watching her in the shower.
Right. Okay. And like, what makes you better than Mike thinking about Jessica's boobs? Like, Jessica.
And he hates Mike Newton for no reason. It's like, dude, leave Mike alone. He didn't even do anything.
Right. He's like, Mike had vulgar thoughts. They were like, you know, weird, vulgar fantasies. And it's like, okay. But you know what you're doing? You're making the choice to sneak into Bella's house every night. So that's kind of.
And
like,
sit in a rocking chair. Could he pick like a creepier place to sit and watch her? But it did make me laugh how he had not even talked about Mike for a while. Like, Mike was early in the day. And then all of a sudden he's peeping and he's like, I'm a nice peeping Tom, not like stupid Mike Newton, if he could be as agile as I could.
It's like,
dude, just let it go.
Maybe he is a 17-year-old boy. Like, I don't know. But at the same time, like,
I wish if he was.
This is not how a 17-year-old boy acts. I'm sorry. It's just not.
No.
17-year-old boys don't, like, I mean, some stalk girls, but, like, a lot of times they're just, like, going and playing, like, Call of Duty and, like, sweating a lot and eating
Doritos.
That would
not be an interesting book either. I think this is Meyer's way of somehow, like, justifying why this is okay. Because
right.
she's probably writing, like, he's spying on her again. Is that weird? Maybe I'll compare, like, if Mike Newton was doing it, it'd be creepy, but not Edward.
Right. And I just have to say that it does not hold the test of time. Like, maybe 10 years ago, I would have really enjoyed this book. But now, reading this book from, like, a feminist lens, it's impossible mm-hmm. to enjoy. Like, truly impossible to enjoy, because Edward is a stalker.
Some things do make me laugh, though, how she, like, goes out and she just brings a bunch of books
out. What does she do? And like, she's just moaning, Edmund. Like, what are...
yeah, basically what happens in the book is like, she keeps reading a book, and then anytime there's a character named Edward, she, like, closes the book and tossed it aside. And Edward can't figure out why. There's like an Edward, an Edmund, and he points out that that's when she closes the book. But she's like, I wonder why. She must just be done with that book. But also, who reads like that?
I know.
It's like, I'm reading one chapter a day from five different books every day.
You mean that's not how you keep up with your reading list?
No. Another thing I want to talk about is Edward saw Bella make Charlie dinner when he's spying into their window, mm-hmm. and he liked it because he likes that she's a caretaker for Charlie because she makes him dinner every night.
Yep.
And that's another example of that is not cute. First of all, Charlie is a grown man.
Mm-hmm.
He's a sheriff.
He's been living alone for years.
Yeah. I said maybe that's why Bella's mom left him, because he's a grown man who needs his teenage daughter to take care of basic cooking tasks.
Hello. But of course this turns Edward on, because the only other woman he's ever loved was his mother. And his adoptive mother.
Well, he likes to talk about how Bella takes care of her parents, which
is
like so far off, because actually, well, first of all, he likes to talk about how she takes care of his parents, because that justifies to him that she's like some old soul and she's mature and it makes sense that they're together. But if you're going to do that, make her parents, there are parents who their kids have to kind of take care of them because they're so immature. Bella's parents aren't like that.
They're not.
Really. I mean, even though her mom has this weird thing with a minor league baseball player, but they still have a good relationship and she still likes her mom. And her dad is has a hard time expressing his feelings, but he's still a mature adult who cares about his daughter.
And he's like the only character that tries to speak, like talk sense into Bella and like stop her from like wanting to date Edward, because that's like the reasonable thing to do.
But it's just like, everything is just so half-assed. It's like, oh, Edward is a dangerous vampire, but he's not that dangerous because he's a vegetarian.
And he has
like, Edward
really
takes care
control.
Of her parents, but they're still really good parents. It's like, nothing can ever just be bad. Everything still has to have like a silver lining. And then Charlotte and Peter, they have to come in later.
They have to. I cannot remember from the original
I don't
book.
Remember either. But it's like, the whole time, there's this like huge threat, but Edward keeps telling us how they're not a threat, but somehow he's so nervous about them. I'm like, what's their deal then? They have to be. Why else would they like come in and out in these chapters?
Right.
But I also laughed that she describes them as being super pale with light blonde hair. It's like, hey, we get it. Everyone's white. All the vampires are white. And
everyone's
makes them
white.
Perfect.
And the only evil vampire is black. We get it.
Lord
have mercy on our souls. That's all I got to say to that. But hey, like, if this is your escapist fantasy, go for it. I just hope you're not teaching any young readers the lessons that are being taught in this book. I mean, it's fine. Like, I think people can read whatever book they want, and whatever books get them to read, cool. But, like, there's certain books that I think, if this is the book that's getting you to read and, like, you really love the messaging, maybe you should question the messaging, like Twilight or, like, Mein Kampf, you know? Like,
maybe you should read the Bible instead.
I am not comparing Twilight to Mein Kampf, but what I am saying is words in books have meaning and they teach people things, and you don't want to teach young readers bad things. And
dude, you're like Fahrenheit 451 trying to take these books out of our libraries. You know, they do. What books have they taken? I feel like Agatha Christie? Did they take some of her books?
She might be on the banned book list. I'm not sure.
I don't know. I was just reading a book where they talked about banned book lists. I'm like, Twilight should be on a banned book list. They ban others for way less.
If you're looking for good romance recommendations, feel free to drop us a line. I'm sure that I could give you something that is much more fulfilling than these books.
Have you ever heard of the story called Romeo and Juliet?
Actually, no, I've not. My favorite romance is Macbeth, actually, so...
All right. Well, on that note,
I think that's
all we can squeeze out of this chapter. So until next time.
And that closes this chapter. See you next time in Forks.